Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia dealers of Ireland. Wherever the next 7 years bring you, Kia are with you all the way.
The latest report on all the websites, including the RTE website, is that the cabinet who are meeting at the moment are considering keeping second level schools open from Monday for Leaving Cert students only, so that they can attend 3 days a week. And other proposals are looking at closing early childhood care and the education scheme, preschools, but with creches only open for children of essential workers and vulnerable children. Now, Pierce is the father of a Leaving Cert student. What do you think of, if that's the direction they're going in, Pierce, that they're going to try and stick to the Leaving Cert by opening second level? Now, whether the unions agree or not, very strong unions in second level, whether they agree to 3 days a week for Leaving Cert students only, does that alleviate any stress for your family, Pierce?
Not particularly, no, Joe.
Okay, why not?
I'm looking at it from a two-pronged approach, really. At the moment, obviously, infection rates are very high, and that's causing its own stress levels for everyone. And then you have my Leaving Cert student, who is studying at the moment, to be honest with you, he's not taking much in. He is putting the hours in, but I'm not too sure how productive it is. So, he came back after Christmas, before all this happened, and it was all full steam ahead going back to school, and then obviously the infection rates went up. So the Bush Telegraph is obviously live, and they're all talking to each other and wondering what's happening. And then you see what Johnson has decided in Great Britain, and then it's followed on with a clarification of what's happening up north on the same island, that both A-levels, or O-levels and GCSE exams have been postponed. Now, that's one thing, and you make a decision based on that. But I think what Norma Foley's forgetting is what's happened up to now. And you're talking about situations where kids are in school since September, and they are kids, despite their 17 or 18, wearing a mask. The person they look up to, either the principal or their teacher or the career guidance counsellor, they're wearing a mask. The windows are open. They have to keep their coats on. There's no social activity after school. There's no sport, no play, no school tour, no debating team. None of that. And I'd actually forgotten this. We were only discussing around the dinner table last night. They went back, they left school at March last year and didn't go back until September. So the retrospective aspect of this has to be looked into. And I think it's completely unfair that they're going to ask these kids to sit exams. Plus also, they're miles behind now. Yeah. My young lad in question has three projects to do across his portfolio of subjects. He hasn't even started them and they're supposed to be submitted by now. And I don't understand what our thinking is. And here's the logic, Joe. Monday, safe to go to school. Tuesday, no, not so safe. Wednesday, it's safe again. Doesn't make any sense. So what I think should happen is they should cancel the Leaving Cert, cancel the Junior Cert, go the predictive grade route, or give them the option. And there was a number, I don't know if you listened to Casey's programme yesterday, Joe.
There were
some great students ringing in, six-year students from all around the country, and some of the suggestions they had were fantastic. But they all seemed to be singing from the same hymn sheet. And one of the students in particular, I think her name was Nia, she said, none of us have a voice out here. And they're not being listened to. And what surprises me more than anything else is that Norma is a teacher.
Norma Foley, the Minister of Education.
Yeah, she's a teacher and she doesn't seem to have any empathy towards these people. And suggesting to go back 3 days a week. I mean, I was standing in the kitchen yesterday and looked at my young lad and I said, how are you feeling? And he said he was okay. But I know by him, he's not. He's really struggling. I have one friend in my social circle whose daughter, when she came home from school, when they were at school, had to go to bed for half an hour to warm up. She's freezing. Yeah. That has happened already. And then add into what's happening already with the uncertainty and this 3 day week carry on. And even in all this now, Joe, I haven't even started to consider the staff, the cleaners, the teachers, the year heads, the career guidance, the principal. And the school that my lad goes to in East Galway have been fantastic. They've been wonderful. But you can see they're struggling and the teachers are struggling. And the kids would constantly ask the teacher what's happening. And they don't know. There's no, seems to be no certainty whatsoever. And I don't understand the harm in deciding now, right, that's it. We're not having exams. We'll go predictive grade route or whatever. Or a simple suggestion.
But how can you do predictive grade? How can a teacher do predictive grading when they've hardly seen the students?
What you do, Joe, is this. You grade someone on their ability, not their performance. So let's say, for instance, I know that my kid will get A, whatever X grade in an X subject. I know that in my own head. If he performs extremely well in his exam, he might up it a bit. Or if he has a bad day, it might come down. But if you reward ability, not performance.
But how do you measure? How do you measure ability?
Because the teacher knows. My dad was a teacher myself.
Yeah, say a teacher has only had that student for fifth and sixth year.
Yeah.
Fifth year ended last March.
That's right.
Before St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Sixth year began in September.
Yes.
Limited. Most schools were limited. You know that in terms of attendance and all that carry on. And you want the teacher to be able to give grade and the other things, but comparative grades.
Well, there's a way of getting around this that takes the pressure off the teacher. The CAO form has to be filled. Remember, this is only for students who want to go to third level.
Yeah.
The CAO form has to be filled in very shortly. My young man, for instance, will not be heading for medicine because he won't have the academic result to get that. But he won't be a million miles away from it.
Yeah.
He knows exactly what he wants to do now. He knows that if he does the way he thinks he'll do and performs the way he thinks he'll do, he'll get what he wants. Fill the CAO and form in and then have a meeting or a virtual meeting or the teacher and the principal have a look at what the choice is. And unless students are acting the maggot, that should be submitted. And let's see if the third level system can handle that. I'd love to know every year, regardless of COVID, how many students are disappointed. I wouldn't imagine the percentage is that high.
Disappointed would not get...
Well, you know what I mean? I wouldn't imagine it's that high. And you made the point, actually, one of your Lifeline shows there last year. Last year. Someone said to you that a course was filled, and you said, how could it be filled? They're all learning remotely.
Online,
that was a good point. Yeah. So
you say cancel it even. Does that mean the schools stay closed?
Yes. Until the experts, which is, Ronan Glynn and Tony Hoolan, say otherwise.
But they haven't said otherwise at this stage, as far as
I know that. But you make a decision today now, for instance, to either pick the end of January or halfway through February to close the schools. And coming up towards that date, you revisit it and see what happens. The other thing I would have a problem with now, and this is the critical...
Just to be clear, you're also saying that the announcement should be made clearly there will be no leaving certificate examination this year in June.
100%. Now, there might be students out there who would disagree with that, but I think the choice should be taken away from people who are not qualified to make the choice. And the choice should be made by experts. As Michael Gove said, we've had enough of experts. We don't want to go down that route.
Well, the Ombudsman for Children on Morning Ireland this morning talked about the detrimental effect that school closures have on
students.
Well,
he's not an epidemiologist, Joe. He's not. He's not a pandemic expert. That's the problem.
Okay, and you believe that should take absolute, total, complete...
Of course it should. Yeah, because for my own personal case, my wife works in preschool. My mother is 83. My wife's mother is almost 80. And I have to do my mother shopping. My son is an asthmatic. So all those things have to be taken into account.
Okay, preschool should close, but that creches should stay open for children of essential workers.
Yes, but have you seen the level 5 list of essential workers on the HSE website?
Yeah.
Sure. The only profession I could pick out that doesn't fit into that list is a priest. Honestly, it fits everyone. So it's nonsense. They should change the wording from essential to critical and revisit that list.
Okay, stay there for a sec, Piers. 51551 Watch on Seb Len, and you are in your 6 year student.
I am indeed. Thanks for having me on, Joe.
And thanks for coming. But Seb, what do you think of this latest? It's on a number of websites from a number of different correspondents saying that the government are considering reopening second level schools for leaving cert students only, which means the exams must be on for 3 days a week. What do you think of that idea, Seb?
I think the government and Minister Foley are trying to do their best to ensure that the leaving cert goes ahead in the most traditional sense. But I just think as well that Public Health, NPHET, Tony Houlihan and everybody else has obviously decided or made the decision that schools should be closed at the moment. And by opening the schools for the 3 days a week, it's contradicting that. And it's the fact that we're still going into a class with 29 other people and still sitting in a classroom where community transmission is there.
But there won't be as many in the school. There'll only be 1 year in the school. So it'd be 1/6, well, unless it has transitioned.
It would
be 1/6 the normal population of the school in the same space. So you could spread out a lot more.
But see, when you spread out, then who covers the different classes? Do you know, so if there's only 10 in one classroom and 10 in the other, so then my math teacher then has to split herself between two classrooms, or if somebody's taken the other class and that person has their own classes, she has to teach her second years on remote learning, do you know? So there's so many other factors that has to be taken into consideration, do you know? Because I completely understand if you spread out people, then social distancing, obviously everything would be great. But who covers those classes? Like, I still want to be taught by my maths teacher, not a different maths teacher halfway through sixth year, do you know?
How did you just take us back, Seb, if you can, from last March, between, and you were in fifth year, obviously, from March to September, how much in schooling did you get?
We weren't in school at all. So I think we went in for 10 minutes to grab our books after the announcement.
Did you have much fifth year online study?
I have to say my school were great. I think everybody tried their best, and I think schools around the country did as well. All the students tried their best, and teachers had to adapt pretty quickly. Different teachers had different methods. I know, like, my English teacher was great. He recorded his class notes, and my chemistry teacher, he done videos of him doing exam questions. And then I know friends in different subjects, in different schools, they didn't get anything. So, like, I would have only had a couple online classes, like a live class over Teams, you know? And I completely understand, like, teachers have kids, they have different commitments and stuff, I wouldn't be expecting them to. It's a difficult time for everybody.
And since you went back in September, Seb, what has been, because remember, that was the government's number one priority, to keep the schools, everything else will be sacrificed if necessary to keep the schools open. So that was their number one, and people say their number one achievement. But when you went back in September, what was your timetable in terms of in school?
Yeah, well, the timetable was as kind of as much as it would be the same as every other year. So we were in school for the normal time and finished school at the normal time. The only difference is that we would have to commit to, at the end of class, for a couple of minutes, we'll be sanitising desks and different things like that. Okay. But other than that, and we might be longer getting to different classrooms because the school have a one-way system implemented. It's all safety and stuff. So it was, like, the school done their best. I think students did as well. And I think Leaving Cert students, we've all had the consensus, you know, that we were sitting an exam. But it's just now is when kind of the question is, will we be able to sit it, you know, and is it fair for us to be able to sit an exam?
Well, what are you telling me? That because you've been effectively out since last March, back between September and December, now gone again, it looks like, for all of January at least, though, as I say, Leaving Cert, there seems to be some compromise there. You think an exam would be unfair?
I think it's about giving people options and it's about being fair to students. I think that we missed 3 months of school last year. We're facing another month now. So it's suddenly 4 months of school. It's nearly a quarter of our 2 years of education, of our senior cycle. And I just think that by giving people the option, everybody's under an extreme amount of pressure. We're coming towards mocks. We're coming towards oral practical exams. Things need to be submitted. We won't even be in school to do that. We have to do mock oral exams, then we have to do the oral exams. Like, there's just so much going on at the moment. So in my opinion, and I think I've spoken to a lot of people my age in different schools and stuff, and the consensus is that they would like predicted grades, but there are a large amount of students as well that would like to sit exams. So,
and you heard yesterday, if you were listening with Katie, that, at the beginning it was lots of people saying, no, we'll go for predictive grades. But then by the end of the programme, I know there was one person saying she had canvassed a lot of our friends, but the end of the programme seemed to be more 50-50 in terms
completely.
Of... But how can you do predictive grades? How can a teacher do predictive grades on a student that they have seen for very little time in the previous 2 years?
Yeah, no, like, it's extremely difficult for teachers and for students. Like, the only thing is, after most schools, the majority of schools across the country will all do exams or tests after their chapter has finished. So I know, like, we get a test in most of my subjects after we finish everything. So, like, we have had 12 maths exams. We have had the 15 or 16 biology and chemistry exams. So we do have a good amount. And we also then this year,
well,
we
But if, do you think if the government says, OK, all schools are going to remain closed and the Leaving Cert is cancelled, will anyone study? What's the incentive?
I don't know. I think if people want to sit exams, and like I said, there are so many people that do want to sit the exams. Okay. Like, I know a load of my friends would prefer to sit exams, but personally, myself, I just think that, like, I've worked extremely hard for the past couple of years, like, for the past few years, and I just think we've come to a time now where it's just, it's simply not fair for us to be expected to sit exams when we haven't finished content, when we don't have oral.
Okay, so you're saying don't sit the exam. But I saw the grind schools, I drove by them on my way home here in December almost every single day, and they were offering Christmas revision courses.
Yeah,
for the Leaving Cert.
Yeah, we were all expecting, like I said, like from September, there was amendments made to Leaving Cert, and we all expected, like, we were all set to go. The only time, literally 2 days ago, when the announcement came that schools will possibly close, that's when we said, that's when I literally haven't been able to concentrate or do any study for the past 2 days. It's just, it's taken over completely. And I know that sounds very dramatic, but it's just,
okay,
it's a lot of pressure at the moment.
Okay.
And it's just,
Say with us, Seb. Stephen Dial is in Sligo. Stephen, is it the uncertainty you want to see ended or the Leaving Cert you want to see ended?
It's the uncertainty mainly, like, because every day you hear many things, like, Joe, like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. The amount of stuff I've heard in the spiraling, if you go on Twitter and you look up the Leaving Cert, you hear 100 different ideas, and then different TDs saying different things, and then someone saying the Leaving Cert should be cancelled. And myself, I don't want the Leaving Cert cancelled, like, because I think I do well in exams, and I'd like to see how well I can perform.
Okay. But you still prefer... But you're saying if the cabinet decide today that the schools are going to reopen only for Leaving Cert students and for 3 days a week, you're saying if they make that decision, and that decision means there is going to be a Leaving Certificate examination, if they make that decision, they should stick to it come hell or high water. And if they're not able, if they think they won't be able to stick to it or there's a possibility, they should abandon the Leaving Cert. But you say whatever decision you make, stick to it.
Yeah, it's just because you think about it, like, the amount of students that struggle with mental health, like, if you go back on your word, like they did there, the last Leaving Cert, the amount of people that will, their mental health will deteriorate completely. Because it's every week, it's something. Up from September to Christmas, everything was fine. I thought we were going to have a Leaving Cert. But the last 2 days, like, all my friends are worried, everything. Mm.
Because of the spread and the numbers and the incredible numbers. Stay with us, Stephen. Bria Carr, this 3 day option, what do you think of that? You're a 6 year student, Bria.
Personally, I don't think that's acceptable. Because in our school, the conditions are just, they're far too cold. We're sitting in the class, like, with hats on, gloves on, our jackets. The breeze is blowing in the window and the blinds are banging. Like, it's just, it's so distracting.
And tell me how cold it is. Well, it's cold. Look at today. It's freezing today.
Yeah, like...
But tell me, I want to know in the classroom, is it really that bad? That you're...
Oh, yeah.
You're in your hats, your scarves, your coats, your leggings, your whatever else.
Yeah. It's just, I just...
And what's,
for me,
what's
anyway,
the teacher wearing?
The teachers will have, like, their jackets on as well, and some of my teachers will wear hats, but they obviously can't wear gloves because they're writing on the board or whatever.
Yeah. So what do you come back? What do you think of the 3 day plan? If they say Leaving Cert going ahead 3 days a week, and they, I presume they have to say we're going to stick to this come hell or high water. Now, is it stickable too? That's the other question. So what do you think, Bria?
I don't think so, no, because if you're throwing students into these cold conditions, they're bound to get sick, and then they're missing more days off school, they're missing more of the course. And if you're bringing them in and out, day in, day out, it's distracting for them, it's unfair.
Seb, I've done, Bria, I've done, Pierce, I've done, and it's now 10 past two. Stay with us, 5155, more chance.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. live.
And Joe at RT.ie. Sharon Keenahan. Sharon, the Leaving Cert students are still with me, but to go to the other age group, the government have, are saying that creches, not preschools, creches can stay open for the children of essential workers. Now, you are involved in that level. What do you think, Sharon?
I know, yeah. So I think that the thought of keeping creches open, it seems contradictory considering all the other educational levels have to stay closed. But then on the other hand, we do understand that creches need to stay open because they do provide an essential service. But there seems to be the list of essential workers is very long. And I think what people who work in the sector really want is just some clarity and for that to be narrowed.
And if you, I don't know whether you can in your mind's eye, Sharon, and I don't know if you would even notice the occupations of the parents of the children that attend your creche. Would you know, would they, in other words, the list is so long and so broad, there's 18 essential sections of workers, essential categories: agriculture, horticulture, forestry, fishing, animal welfare and related, manufacturing, that's an awful lot obviously, supply, repair and installation of machinery and equipment, electricity, gas, water, sewage, waste management, construction and development, wholesale and retail trade, that would be a lot I presume, transport, storage, communications, accommodation and food services. These are all workers who will be entitled to send their children if they wish, if they're already going to a creche. Because these are essential workers, and the creches are being told that you stay open for essential workers. Financial and legal activities, professional, scientific, technical, rental and leasing activities, administrative and sport activities, public administration, emergency services and defence, human health and social work activities, education, community and voluntary services, diplomatic missions and consular affairs. Do you think that will cover a significant number of the children in a creche?
Yeah, I think it would. Yeah, definitely.
So the idea of having a small... But your argument is they should close creches altogether if they're closing schools?
I think from a public health point of view, leaving creches open, it doesn't seem to make sense. When you are working in a creche, you're down on the ground, you're with a lot of children, and it's actually not mandatory for early years educators to wear PPE in their classrooms. Now, a lot of people do choose to do that, but that is not a mandatory requirement. So you're actually quite exposed. Early educators, they're not fully protected when they're in work.
And it's very difficult to socially distance from an under 5-year-old, isn't it?
Exactly.
Explain to them.
Yeah, it's impossible. Like from my own experience, it hasn't been possible to distance from children. So I think like a huge part of our job is to provide care to the children, and that obviously means you can't do that from a 2 metre distance. So there essentially is no social distancing from children in the classrooms. And I know from in some classrooms you can have up to 22 children in a room. It's not feasible.
And you're saying for that list of essential services, you mightn't have 22, but you might have 17, 18.
Yeah, you could have a large group of children. Okay. And then some of those children might be classed as vulnerable children who, need to come and keep in their routine.
Okay. Joe at RT.ie. Say there, Sharon. Mary Cullen. Mary, you're an ICU nurse, but you want want to talk about the Leaving Cert scenario. Do you want your son to sit the Leaving Cert, the Leaving Certificate exam?
I do. My son is repeating this year.
Okay.
And he was very disappointed not to sit the Leaving Cert last year because one, he had studied so hard, was looking for high points, and like most teenage boys, not all, he really got into gear kind of after Christmas.
I understand that, yeah.
And he was head down and he was doing everything he can, and I had spent a fortune on maths grinds and French grinds and in an effort to get him the best Leaving Cert he could get, And, while he did very well, he didn't get enough for what he wanted.
So he wanted to sit the leaving cert again. You know, he wanted the chance to sit the leaving cert. He was so cross. He had sent letters to politicians and everything himself last year. He was so cross about it. But
and his predictive grades weren't what he hoped.
No, like he's looking for medicine, so it's you know, very high points. And while he did very well, he didn't get enough for medicine. You know, so he wanted to sit
Well, the answer, one of the answers to that is high points is supply. Points are supply and demand. We've been through this before. If, why not expand the number of places in medicine, medical school? There's one thing we're going to need, is more medics. Mary, but yeah, I don't know what you heard. Bria there, who was the last caller, she said, well, she wanted the predictive grade. She says 3 days is unfair, and she says it's like a scene out of Frozen in her school. For the last 3 months, and the teachers are freezing and in hats, and the students are freezing.
With
the windows open and the ventilation. What is that not a good enough reason?
Well, put in more heaters. Do you know what I mean? You know, just, or, you know, they have to sit the leaving cert. They have to. Mm-hmm. It's the fairest way of giving them what they, you know, earned themselves, you know. Especially for, and they couldn't even sit the oral exams last year. So for a student who had practiced speaking French, not to use
gone down the drain in that sense.
Gone down the drain.
Apart from the great use you'll get from a language.
Absolutely.
If we're ever allowed travel again. But Mary, from a putting on your ICU uniform, so to speak, insofar as you can generalise, what do the staff in ICU think, because you're absolutely, totally, completely at the coalface, what do you think when you hear people saying, well, it's unfair on the teachers or it's unfair on the students because it's so cold?
You know, look, it's the pandemic is huge and it's, you know, everybody's at risk. But, you know, as a nurse wearing a mask 12 hours a day, you know, and working full time, you know, it's hard to listen to teachers sometimes when, you know, when we're doing our best and we're, you know, and we're, it's hard to socially distance all the time in work, and we're trying to do our best and be the best that, and take the least risks and take the, you know, be the best that we can be and be as careful as we can be, you know. But And I appreciate everybody is at risk. Everyone is at risk. Yeah. But like with the right precautions and the right planning, the leaving cert should go ahead.
ICU nurses have died. We did that incredible case, that incredible woman. She was only 60 who died in. She was in ICU in St. Vincent's Hospital, and the commitment she had to her work, and she's died from COVID.
I know everybody's at risk. Everybody's at risk. But this is the children's future. They have to sit the leaving cert. They have to, you know. And it's very hard on parents who are, you know, by their children and spending, you know, fortune on their child. And not every child has it. Look at all the deaf schools who are, you know, how are they going to do online learning? And all the children who are, you know, who don't have the same opportunities as even my child has. Do you know what I mean? And the fairest way they can is actually sitting and leaving cert.
So if the government, the cabinet say today, 3 days a week from next Monday for leaving cert students only, you're saying if they make a decision, they should stick to it.
It should be a stickable decision. Please.
And if they can't, if they think there's a possibility they might not be able to stick to it, well then go down.
Even if they staggered the leaving cert, one cohort doing it in June, one cohort doing it in July or whatever, and plan it, you know, we can work around that.
And that woman was married there. I hope I'm pronouncing her name, Tarugo. She lived in Dalkey and worked in St. Andrew's Ward in St. Vincent's. Bria, what do you think of what Mary is saying? People in ICU are wearing masks 12 hours a day in a much more hostile setting in terms of the virus. So, Bria, get over it. Wear another pair of gloves or bring in a hot water bottle. You there, Bria?
Like, yeah, but
we're constantly being assessed every week or every month, whatever, constantly. And it's so much pressure on the students. Everyone's burnt out. You know, their mental health is deteriorating. And while I feel really bad that her son didn't get his points, like, that is so disappointing. But that's why I proposed the idea of making it optional. Like, do you want predicted grades or do you want to sit the leaving cert?
I'd agree with that. You know, give the students a choice, and the ones who want to sit it, let them sit it.
Yeah, but then would you be getting a situation a few years down the road where employers or people who want to do postgrads or whatever, they'd be asked, by the way, your leaving cert results, are they in sit exam results, or are they predictive grade results?
Either way, they'll be the grade that you deserved. Because if it was predicted, that's what your teacher genuinely thought that you deserved. Or if you sat the exam, that's what you worked for.
And do you think, insofar as your people older than you, Bree, or even family, do you think the predictive grades worked last year, 2020?
Well, obviously there was some issues with it, but they have time now to change that. They can perfect the system.
Okay.
Look, whatever they decide, I mean, it needs to be fair on the children. It wasn't fair on the children last year, you know, and the children who were, or the students were all, you know, all over the place. You know, the weak ones were even weaker because they didn't get the support in school. You know, it has to be fair.
We're back to the whole thing of the number of third level places, and that's why this is such a. I know I have to, and Mary, I'm talking to you, an ICU nurse. I presume, God forbid, if I'm in ICU or one of my relatives is in ICU, I presume with great certainty in Ireland because of the system that you've had enormous training and skills and exams, and you've been examined, and you know what you're doing, which is great. But that's. Like, there has to be some assessment of people to validate that what they say, what they think they know, they do actually know.
Yeah, and there has to be some bit of motivation as well. You know, I mean, those...
Well, if the Leaving Cert is abandoned, that's motivation gone, is it?
Gone. You know, and it's very hard, even with the best students, to go up and
Okay. Mary, have you been vaccinated in ICU?
Not yet, but hopefully soon.
When do you know?
We don't know. Hopefully in the next week.
Oh, you better be. Well, not better be. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And of many, I know Tala was yesterday and today, yesterday and later on in the week. Has anyone in your hospital been vaccinated?
Oh, yes, they have. It started. And please God, it'll continue.
Oh, okay. But you're out. The ICU staff you're not panicking. Well, panic is a long time gone for you at this stage. If you had been prone to panic, you would have panicked many, many months ago. So you've kept your head. But you're saying we're not panicking at this stage about the vaccine. We're going to get it in the next few days.
We're going to get it. And, you know, everybody can do is keep, you know, wear your mask above your nose and mouth.
Yeah.
Wash your hands at every... opportunity you can, sanitize your hands at every opportunity you can, and stay away from people and keep safe.
And put loads of sanitizer around the house. Put bars of soap beside every sink in the house, and fresh. If you can, do as much as you can. But
be responsible.
Yeah, if you can count the number of times you've washed your hands every day, you're not washing them enough.
Absolutely.
Okay, Mary, stay safe, and thank you for your service as well. And I hope
hope
everything works out well. Mary Cullen, thank Bria Carr, likewise, and Sharon Keenan. 51551. Wash your hands.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.